Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not gonna be able to call it in. Oh God. What is the number?
1347.
It ain't showing, it ain't let me. Got me some music. It's not picking it up.
Trey.
Hey.
Looks like we're having a little problem with the kickoff tonight, but we're going to get it going. Can you hear me?
I'm here. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah,
can
see,
you
I'm trying me? To get everything straight. Yeah. We're on now. We're really on now. But unfortunately,
hey, we're here.
Okay. But see, it's just only you on.
Okay. Daryl about to get on.
Not showing up. Hold on a second. I'm gonna just try to play some.
Hello, sir.
Hey. Yeah.
Am I on? Okay, go.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh yeah. I'm a music major.
Tears rolling down your face. With your heart feeling like a gold brain. Like it's about to shake. When you've taken all that you can take.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember where your help comes from. Realize you got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do. Praise Him anyway.
Welcome, everybody. We're really sorry about this technical difficulty we're dealing with tonight. However, we're up and running now. You know, I'm actually not at my studio, but I'm in the studio. Trav is with me, so we're running into a little problem in regards to trying to get a connection, and the connection wouldn't go through. Now, it was being connected. We could hear people talking, but it was just not showing up on the board like we needed to. But beside that, we're going to get ready to get our show started. This is Wonderful Wednesday. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus, so we're very excited about having the opportunity. Now, for example, we had a preview show, and we had some people on Facebook that was quite interested in joining us tonight. We hope they, and since they DM me to let me know they're going to join us, so we look forward to them joining us. We're the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletes in the southeastern part of the United States. And tonight, we're so excited to have an opportunity to come before you. Now, if you want to listen to the show by web link, you have to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production, and you can hear the show that way. But you also can go to the call-in number, 347-857-4192. Now, we also have ways one through Twitter. You can tweet us at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Elliot, ELLIOTDARYL with the number one, at Tremaine Edward, that's Tremaine, TREMAINE, EDWARD with the number seven, at Coach _ L _ Smith. So we're excited about these many ways you can communicate with us. All right, I want to introduce our co-host. I won't say mine, but our co-host, because they're outstanding individuals. We're in this together. We're a team, and we're excited to have this group doing what we're going to do on this night. And the title of the show tonight is 2018 Football is still a grind. And we're going to talk about the many grinds that's going on in college football. So the team is ready to go. First, I want to introduce that young man that's north, as close as to Tennessee you can get, about an hour or so from Nashville. And he's excited about being with us, and we appreciate that. And he had us up this weekend, so we want to make sure we share some important things that happened with Tailgate 2018 at Alabama A&M. He's known with that saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit have begun, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
How y'all doing tonight, man? Glad to be here. Hot topics, baby, hot topics. Let's get this thing going, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, Trey. I'm glad you're with us. Again, we thank you for allowing us. We're going to be doing our public acceptance of accepting you coming up that we did. Now we're publicly saying thank you, and we do appreciate it. We had an outstanding time there. And our
you're
other
welcome,
co-host,
sir.
He's now.
Anytime.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you again. And our other co-host from South, close to that Florida line. And we're down there where Michaels has set some standards and new standards down to make some things happen. Our prayers for each and every one of those individuals on the Gulf Coast. He runs from Dothan, Alabama, over to from Harper up to Montgomery over to Auburn, all the way down to Troy. None other than Don King of Entertainment. And he's an E-Train. And he's the coach of the Airways. That's Coach Darryl E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Darryl?
Coach, I'm so glad to be here. And you know it does me wonders when I hear Tremaine's voice on his blog, man. It's awesome. And you too, Doc. Let's get the show going.
All right, let's get this thing started. Now, other co-hosts hadn't called in yet, but I assume they will. But the other two co-hosts, and that's Touchdown Tony, Coach Tony Stallworth, as well as the lady and Alma Millennium. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. And I can say I've been going to rehab with her, and she's a true soldier. She's fighting it. She's fighting it. She's going through it because her goal is to be walking and ready to go by classic time coming up. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. Classic is almost here, fellas, so we're going to have to get ready for that. But tonight we got them topics we want to talk about, so let's jump in it right quick. This is 2018 football. It's still a grind. We're going to look at some high school things that went on this past weekend. And Coach Elvin, you want to share some thoughts about what happened in North Alabama up there?
Yes, I discuss a few thoughts. What happened is the Bulldogs went down this weekend, man. We really hurt ourselves on the east side. We're on Dr. Smith East, right?
East. Yes.
We hurt ourselves on the east side. We created controversy, and now we have to win out to be considered as the Eastern Conference champion. So we came out, we fought strong, and we laid down toward the end, Dr. Smith. That's what happened up here at Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay. And Trey, in the high school things that are going on up there, you know, we want to share with some of the teams that make things do what they do up there.
Like I said, Lee High School, we are right now, we're 2-7, I think, right now. Came out blasting first two games, won them. We rolling the basketballs out now. Jemison High School, the same way, that's the old Johnson High School, J-O-J. They rolling their basketballs out too. Well, they have a chance. Both teams have a chance to make the playoff. Lee has to win this Friday. Johnson is in the back seat. They're waiting on Lee to lose. And they will get their fourth seed in that region, and they will be out of there the first round. But we rolling basketballs out here. James Clements is rolling. The team that played Thompson down there in the classic game down there in Montgomery, they're rolling. They are undefeated in their region, and they're really rolling, Dr. Smith. Like, I'm talking about blasting, folks. So I guess that was a little false hope that they gave. Mm-hmm. They kind of pulled the wool over people's eyes, but they are rolling up here. That's all I got for you, Dr. Smith. Everybody else, we roll the basketballs out, baby.
Roll the basketball. That's the every game. Sometimes when you get to this point, it's time to roll the basketball. Darryl, you got anything you want to share on that south part of it? You kind of heard in your ear over there in regards to high school athletics. And we know we're going to let when Touchdown Tony come on, he'll fill it in from north to south, east to west. But any kind of information you can share with our listeners in regards to over that south part of the state.
Greenville High School looks good this year. I think Greenville High School, you're going to hear from them. Georgiana High School, they look good this year. They are going, I think Georgiana's going to end up winning out and going to Birmingham this year. They just look too good. Nobody can stop them. But then there's Sweetwater. You know, Sweetwater is also looking good over there. So it's some good football teams on the south end. And yes, you're right, Tony Stallworth can't give us that the play-by-play, the Hoover by Hoover, as I call it, the Hoover. Smoother the groove, Hoover by Hoover. No doubt about it. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And that's awesome. Awesome. And Touchdown Tony always going to be there to give us that information. And just kind of share some things. There were some games that did occur in the state, but pretty in the central part of the state. But throughout the state, there are other games that went on. But one that was most noticeable was in the area two, I mean, I'm sorry, the region two of the 6A. You had a battle that went on between Carver and George Washington. Carver, who was undefeated, went up against Cindy Lanier, who had two losses or three. Let me make sure, three losses, but they was had one loss only in the region. So when they played on last Friday night, Lanier jumped out on them and just didn't let up. They jumped out on them. Now, Carver did come back and score a couple touchdowns, but the final score was 35 to 25. And they had some plays that just lit up the other team. I mean, Lanier had a play on the 5-yard line with a receiver catch an out route and would catch a deep sideline route and turn it into a 95-yard touchdown. Then we had several other big plays that was outstanding. I actually sent out to most of the public about two of the players, players of the week. That was Noah Hart, and then we had another young man that was also had an outstanding game over there at Lanier. But Coach Evers, I was talking with him. You want to share some thoughts about in regards to what you saw when you saw Lanier, I'm sorry, when you saw Carver play, and then you said you kind of saw that in the vision. You want to share some thoughts about that game in regards to that game?
Well, Dr. Smith, I saw a few witnesses. Carver was 6-0 when I saw him, was 7-0 after that game. They didn't look impressive, Dr. Smith. Like I said, I seen a few weaknesses in them. That game where they played Northview, they had a few weaknesses. If Northview ran the old wing T, and if Northview would have stayed disciplined in what they did, I think they would have had a chance against Carver. But they were getting too pretty, too fancy, man. If they just stayed with the dive and the veer, I think they would have had something going, but they was trying to, you know, reverse out and do all that stuff. But Carver really knocked the hole on them then. But I told y'all last week, Carver didn't look very impressive, man. They could be beat. Like you said, Dr. Smith, they were undefeated in the area. They was undefeated regular season. But they ran into kids that are separated by streets. So these guys aren't intimidated by them. So your zone is separated by a road. You see these kids every day. I mean, Lanier came out and played and looked productive. Lanier has beat the best teams in that area. Mm-hmm. They beat Park mm-hmm. Crossing and Carver, which were atop the area. So Lanier has a good chance of winning that area, Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's something we wanted to kind of share some thoughts on, it because Lanier truly, with that win, gives them wind on the two. They sort of have a three-way tie at the top up there. And the three-way tie, based on the number of games, Carver is still tied with Lanier for the top, but they are ranked as that shared number one. They are 7-1. Then you have Park Cross and Lanier, both of these teams, Lanier and B. And I think they lost either two games, And then Lanier had lost three games, but each one of them was tied in the area. But the good thing for Lanier, if they can hold on, they have two games left, and they're two games against the weaker of the division team. That's Dothan and Northview. They already beat Eufaula. They beat Eufaula. They lost to Russell County. That's their loss in the area. So they look, if they can win the next two games, they will win this area regardless of what Carver really do, because head-to-head competition says they will win this. So this is a whole different outlook for this school. And I did send out on behalf of Talking Sports Plus congratulations to them, because this is not, if it's not the second, I know it's the second, at least the third year or so winning the Westside Classic. So you see that as being real positive with this group of young men at Lanier. So they won the Westside Classic, put them in, propelled them in first place, where they have two games of more of the weaker teams in the division, and they can do that. That automatically assured them a chance to be in the playoff and be competitive in the playoffs. So it was an outstanding weekend, but we had some other games that were played. Obviously, I wanted to wait on Touchdown Tony, but I just want to share, as Darren was talking about, Georgiana. Georgiana is looking so strong in that area because they're leading the area. They beat Elba last weekend 35-27. Also, you had Bradley. They're hanging in there, being ranked as well, and they beat Red Level 53-14. I'm sort of working that way. We got Lynette. We talked about Lynette recently, ranked in the 1A. Lynette is ranked number one, I believe, somewhere number one. Their football, they won football and basketball last year, and they're still rolling and undefeated. That's 42-0 over Lochipoca, and those are some games in that. In that smaller class, but you also have other games like the Greenville is still rolling wheel. So we have some outstanding teams that are playing all the way from the top to the bottom, and some of them, like Coach Edwards said, are not rolling out their basketball yet. They kind of see themselves playing a little bit longer. So what we're gonna kind of put a pin in that high school, and we're gonna roll to our coach's corner, and I want our co-host to kind of jump in with this. The biggest upset of the week. A week 7 college football. In your eyes, what was the biggest upset? And I want us to talk about that. And I'm going to start with the King. I'm going to let the King just kind of run away and have a ball with this one right here, because I know he's going to talk about this particular team. Go with it, King.
Biggest upset this week was LSU over Georgia. Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this. I got into an argument with some guys in a group I'm in on Facebook about this LSU team, and they were gassing the team up. You know, I went out on a limb and said it was LSU and Kentucky. They was gassing LSU and Kentucky. Because my sentiments, I always say it, this year is the weakest I've ever seen the SEC. When the SEC, East teams are beating teams like Mississippi State, and stuff like that, and Mississippi State goes over there and lose to Kentucky and teams like that, I feel like the conference is getting weaker, because the SEC West teams are predominantly stronger than the SEC Eastern team. That's just the way the flippers went. But when I saw LSU go over and beat Georgia, it brought me back to the realization. Now, I have been riding on the Kirby Smart train. Now, because Kirby Smart, you know, he has his old Bama mentality to, you know, trust the process. And if you watch Georgia, they play like an old Bama team. They're defensively sound. They have a few pieces. They have a few pieces that are offensively, and they have a game manager at quarterback. They don't want to make no plays. They don't want to do nothing. They just want to manage the game, and we're going to just roll with that. We just hand the ball off and roll with that. So when Kirby starts throwing the ball over 30 times with a game manager, you're panicking. That means you're in trouble, Dr. Smith. When you do that with a game manager, that guy threw the ball 36 times. So that means, therefore, you're trying to win with him. If he wants to do that, I think he needs to go with the Fields guy. If he wants a guy that is explosive, and we'll win the game with his arm and his leg, go with the Fields guy. But you can't make from game manager to game changer. You know, that's one thing Kirby learned, and he usually learned every year from that. But Georgia laid the egg, man. LSU didn't do nothing to that looked impressive at all. Georgia had a lot of success doing what they do. They just didn't stick with it, man. And like you said, Dr. Smith, the way Carver jumped out on Lanier jumped out on Carver, that's exactly what happened in the LSU-Georgia game. LSU jumped on them quick, and they just held tight. And it carried on, but that was the biggest upset in my eyes right there.
Okay, so let me say this. Looking at the game, to me, Georgia got exposed. That's the way I see it. But more so than anything, big upset, Mississippi State over. I think this is going to be the weekend where Mississippi State beats LSU. What do you think? And then Tennessee is going to give Bama a good game this weekend. But Georgia not overrated, see. LSU came to play. And Burroughs could have beaten anyone last Saturday. He's got a great QB. So, LSU has got a good team. I'll say that. But I think Georgia, the way I see it, they got one senior on offense, and they got a hodgepodge of juniors. Now, 2 years from now, I think Georgia going to give you all the business you want 2 years from now. But I just don't think this is the team this year. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And I'm agreeing 100% with both of y'all, because I'm going to tell you, I saw some things that exposed even Georgia last year. Last year, all they needed was a game manager. And that game manager was from, because he was criticized of not being able to throw the ball over 30 yards. And in a game like that, when LSU came out and punched them in their mouth, that's what they did. They said, we're going to hit you till you submit and give up. And that's what Georgia looked like they did. They looked like they couldn't do anything because LSU made them look that way. And I applaud Ojuan for having his guys, hey, that's how you talk to get his guys ready and play at a high level. Now, to think they should be in the playoff is a whole different ball game. As long as they're on that West, I'm not going to put anybody ahead of Alabama, not at this point, because I don't believe you can score the video games points like they can score, or fantasy football points like you want to call it. That's what it is. It's high-rated, in this high-profile offense that's throwing up 6 and 7 points when they feel like putting it up. And I think it will be a good game with Tennessee. I think they'll go in and they'll start off and not play up to par, but score as quick as they used to, but eventually end, it will be a 30 points difference. Now, just like it was said, you know, we said a little bit of the second part of what we was going to talk about regarding Georgia was they overrated. You know, my opinion, with all what they lost last year, I didn't feel like they should have been number two. I really didn't. And I felt like the two running backs that they had, that they're proving now in the NFL, these two running backs that they was NFL caliber running back at Georgia, made a difference because they made you adjust your game plan. You had to plan for Chubbs, and you had to plan for Sonny Michelle. So I don't care what nobody said. You can't sit being on defense, Raekwon Smith. Sometimes you can't replace these players with some of the players that you have been recruiting before Kirby got there. This is Kirby third year. So now in 2 years, as Darryl said, they're going to be a team to have to reckon with just like Alabama is. But the bottom line is when they lose two players or three players like the ones I just named, that's a lot. Tell me what you think about that, King. What you think about that?
I agree exactly with you right there. You had the plan for Sonny Michelle and Chubb, Big Chubb back there. And you couldn't stop. That was thunder and lightning, man. Like I told you, because about the championship game, man, I would have ran Sonny Michelle to the end because we didn't have a match for his quickness and acceleration. Now, Chubb is a little bulkier guy, and it takes him a little longer to get going. So when he came in, we were able to, you know, TFA, a tackle for a loss, right in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
But but Sonny Michel is moving at a whole nother pace, man. Whole nother pace.
Yep.
But like you said, Dr. Smith, they hit him in the mouth so hard that it wasn't nothing they could do. Nothing.
Not a thing. Not a thing, but take it. And that's what the bad part
is.
They took it. Yes.
And he's absolutely right. They got smashed my football from the very start. And, you know, forecasting it coming down the road, you know, if Alabama stays healthy, they got a chance, but they got to stay healthy. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And exactly. They have to stay healthy, you know. It's no if and but about it, you know. You look at it, the cornerback going down, but I saw what his name came. Smith came out there and played pretty well that time. He only got leaked over one time, but in that first couple games, he was getting leaked over three or four times. So he came in and gave that cornerback a little bit more stability. I'm just so surprised about that cornerback that's playing over that way at number two. I'm so shocked with the level of play he's playing. And I don't know whether King noticed that or not, and that's the young
yes,
man.
Sir.
Sertain. Sertain. That people don't even throw at him. That's what's so – you're a freshman. You're 17 years old. They don't even throw at him. And I know when I saw him in high school down there in South Florida, I knew he was going to be a force like that, whoever got him, because, you know, he was flying to LSU, but he eventually went on up there with the DB capital of the world, apparently, they say. But they say LSU is DB capital football. And I don't know, but it looks like there's more of them outstanding players going up there, and they're going on to the NFL. And so we'll kind of see. So I really think Georgia was overrated. I didn't think they should have been anywhere close to the top, maybe the top six through 10, but not the top, the second best team, or even the third or fourth team. Now it's going they can still get in the playoff, but they got a rough road to go, because if they win the East, which they got to play Florida, got to play Auburn. If they win the East, they still got to deal with Alabama. And I know everybody talking about LSU, still got to deal with Alabama. I keep saying them video game numbers they putting up. And by putting them video game numbers up, you got to come to play. You got to outscore them before you can beat them. And you can come out and – it's hard to play smash-mouth football when you can't cover nobody. Or you put in a position where, you know, an amazing thing I was telling somebody the other day about Alabama, I'm going to get off this and go to something else. Alabama run a slant and go 80 yards on you. Tua don't have to throw an out, which is required to throw, which I have never seen him throw one. Yeah, you know, he have never thrown one. But he don't have to when you throw those, when you got those pass plays, a deep ball puts it right in their hands. You don't have to. You don't have to be pressured. So you can't walk up and hit for and stop for Judy from going through that, because he's a slot man. And they got something else. And I want you to kind of look at this trade where it's there. If you ever watch their routes now compared to last year, I don't know whether you noticed the difference in his route.
Yeah.
I was having a discussion with some other. They got open routes now. Last year they didn't have open routes. Because one of the things they said, and I think that hurt last year too, their passing game. Last year, the thing was said about Calvin Ridley was he was the best route runner who had ran in a while. Isn't that one of the things they label on him?
Yes, sir.
But
that's right.
They don't have that now. They don't have a route where these guys run open routes. A lot of that, what you call these, what they call these teams, is RPOs and those kind of teams. Those players don't run routes no more. So it will make you look good as a quarterback. It makes you look great because you ain't waiting for a man to do an out because you got to throw it to the spot. This guy's open to do what he needs to, because Judy's, there's no way in the world Judy can run up now to field and catch that many touchdowns on a post. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody convince me that.
But Dr. Smith, he's not running posts. He's running routes to move people. Can you understand what I'm saying by saying that? Like, that first initial route that he ran was a setup route. So it was the second play of the game, the route he ran. He ran to the middle. He bowled out to the right. Once the safety saw he saw Devontae Smith come underneath. Devontae Smith was wide open too, Dr. Smith, underneath. And once he saw that safety move, shoot, he cornered back out to the middle of the field and was wide open. So they're running routes on, like you said, like they're just open routes. Like, do this, and it's like a, like you say, in a video game. It's like we're drawing plays in the dirt. Mm-hmm. You run here, and we're going to go there, and we're going to run the team route on the backside because the safety is gone.
Exactly.
And that comes a lot from your quarterback eyeing people down. Because on that route, Dr. Smith, as you saw, shoot, Tua looked at Devontae Smith the whole time. And then just threw the ball down the field. And then Dr. Smith, people not realizing this, he's throwing the ball 50, 60 yards in the air down the field.
Yeah, that's one thing that he did do is he made the linebackers, the defensive linebackers, just misread every single time by checking down on one guy and staying with that one guy, but it's peripheral vision watching this other guy the whole time. And they said that on the TV often. Tua has some type of magic with his eyes because the guys in the secondary on the other side over there are misreading him every single time.
Exactly. And he reads quick. It's a quick read. As you watch Tua, everything he does is quick. So if you take one false step, you dead. All it takes is one. And with the speed of these receivers, Dr. Smith, this is the difference right here, Dr. Smith. When you have every receiver that you have on the field running a 4.3, Dr. Smith, it's nobody running 4.6 and 4.7 that come in that game. When Jalen Waddle comes in, it's a 4.3. Jerry Judy, 4.3. Henry Ruggs, 4.3. Devontae Smith, 4.3. I mean, it don't stop.
And that's important. That's important if you can get a group of receivers. They are about the best group of receivers in this country. Speed, got the speed. So it makes a difference. It makes it easy. Hell, if the line hold them off and let me, hell, I may hit a pass or two. You know, luck, never know. But I'm too old to do it now, so I'm not going to. That's just my joke, half for the laugh. Okay. So it's all good. And it's awesome to see this kind of football. I love to see that kind of football. A defensive man is hard for me to swallow sometimes to see some of the stuff they allow defense can't do, the players on both, to stop them off their route, get them off their run. But it is what it is. So you go with it and you roll with it. All right, now let's look at and the call-in number. Let me say this is 347-857-4192. Call us because we got a lot of people on the line. And if you want to talk, press 1. And I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to come on, let us know who you are and your location, and you can jump in with this conversation. All right, 3 coaches that you can say consider after week, the first 7 week team can consider to be coach of the year. We ain't talking about the end of the year. We just talking about right now after the first 7 weeks. What 3 coaches, the 3 top coaches, who have done an outstanding job enough to put them in that conversation?
I'll say Ed Oregon or Tom Herman from Texas. I'll even say the coach from Kentucky. I'll give him that.
I'm gonna go with my boy Nick Saban. I'm gonna go with Harbaugh, and I'm gonna go with Cristobal at Oregon. Man, big time upset over there, man. Big time upset. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, I'm gonna go with him. And my honorable mention will be Stoops. I go with Stoops at Kentucky. That's Stoops at Kentucky, right, Dr. Smith?
Correct. Yeah, Mark Stoops. Yeah, Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
Yes. And all of those are to be mentioned. And I'm agreeing with all of those because that's why I said top 3, but you can name 3 or 4. They always don't have to be the same because at this point, we're just talking about up to week 7. We ain't talking about how it's going to be on the end of the year because everything may change after this week because they're getting to the meat of the schedule. So you might see some change, but those coaches who are doing some jobs that need to be recognized is, you know, Ogeron down at LSU. We got to recognize him because nobody gave him a chance in whatever you want to call it to do anything. But his team is slapping people in the eye. Hardball them lost the first game. Stoops started off, and he just ran into a little small buzzsaw at Texas A&M. And then you got other coaches like Mario Cristobal out there at Oregon State that's doing an outstanding. Term Herman, because nobody was giving him a chance to do anything. So those are the three or four coaches we didn't saw that are doing, and I agree 100%, and I wouldn't add anybody else to that group because some people are just, you know, doing so well with a little nothing. Some of them don't have anything, but they're doing well enough to keep it going. And continue on to be successful. All right. Again, calling them 34. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead and give that calling number. I got a question. Give that calling number.
Okay. All right. Calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 and we'll let you join. We'll allow you to join the conversation. Not allow, we want you to join the conversation. And I'll identify your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to let us know who you are, where you're calling from. And let us know who your top three candidates are. All right, there.
I want to ask you a question, Dr. Smith. Now, we've seen the worst in Auburn Tiger football. We've seen the worst. And
okay.
All right. So, what do you think? Real short conversation between you and Tremaine. What do you think is the real issue at Auburn University in terms of their football?
Let me go, Dr. Smith.
Dive in,
you want to
go
first?
I'm going to come right
behind
you.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead,
and it's going to be quick, Dr. Smith. Gus Malzahn doesn't have the type of players he needs for his offense to be successful. He's depleted. He's completely depleted right now. He's not defeated. He defeated too, but he depleted. But I give him 2 years, and he'll have the pieces. Now, it's up to people to be patient enough to wait on him, though, Darryl. But he will have his pieces in at least 2 years. Because as of right now, he's being loyal to Stidham, and it's biting him in the butt. And Stidham can't help him. Go ahead, Dr. Smith. I'm done.
Okay. All right. And I agree with what Tremaine is saying. He does not have the pieces, but I will give him, no one else that credit but him, because he's been there long enough to have pieces in place, and he don't have them in place. I know some guys left he thought was going to be there, but they wasn't there. For example, Kerryon Johnson left because it was time for him to leave, but the other little Petway fellow, he was able to stay around. He could have given that big back, but he chose not to play anymore because of his injury, whatever it was. And now he's serving as a career prep teacher at Montgomery Park Crossing. And I don't know what the elder business status was, but that offense need a big back. I need a back that can carry that ball a lot. And they don't have it. And they, to the point they trust Whitlow, who's there now, to do it. He's not, they just don't trust him to do it. And then I think there's some favoritism. It's just what I'm throwing out there. There's a little favoritism that's going on because of this transfer rule and this redshirt rule. Because I think a previous show we talked about players that was planning on transferring from Auburn. And it was one of the players, whether people believe or not, whether he fits that mold or not, it was Cam Martin. Cam was going to transfer. He announced it on that Tuesday before Kelly Bryant did, as well as Savinelli, that he was going to transfer, but they talked him out of transferring. So some of those players looking at that, he was going to leave, and people can say what they want. They're still young men that have their feelings they wear on their shoulders half the time. Why are you whittling him, or why are you trying to keep him around? He's going to leave, let him leave. People might not see it that way, but it caused dissension in your program. And what has happened is that you got some defensive players out there talking in the community and talking to reporters. Because I heard one of the pundits in talking here, which is Cole Kubelik, went off because he was saying some defensive player was talking to Brandon Marcellus, and he posted some things and spread some things about what was going on at Auburn. They're not happy. They got tension in the locker room. He can hold on as much as he needs to hold on, but whatever problem that Mazon has is because he's been there to create it. I think what it is, everybody wants things to happen. And like you said, Trey, they'll be better in 2 years, but it's like every 3 or 4 years, and people want them to be competitive. Lowell's Alabama is competitive every year, which is their arch rival. Every 3 years, don't work with them. And it's just not going to be.
Hey,
like
Dr. Smith. Now, I'm going to add my 2 cents to this.
Okay.
I agree with your extensive view on that, because that is an extensive and it covers a lot of things. But I can sum it up, what you said, I can sum up with one word, discipline. Auburn lacks discipline, and they hadn't had discipline since Coach Dye left there. And that's Auburn's biggest problem. They don't have the discipline. That's why all these things are happening. You don't hear about these things in many college football programs, but Auburn has this dysfunction called lack of discipline. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And there set a mouthful right there. And we look at that because that was going to be one of the things. What's wrong with Auburn? We talked about that last week. Right now, we're in a microwave society, and it wants to win now. It is hard for them to sit over there and watch Alabama with a player like Tua that's nothing but a sophomore, and players like them guys, and know it's going to be a tough road to hoe. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard for the fans. It's hard for the administration, because the administration is getting burnt out right now, been lit up right now. I'm saying lit up by the fans, lit up by the board members, lit up by people. Administration, I mean the president, because the president decided to make this decision. The pundits and talking heads are talking about it right now. It's a problem, and it's not going away. So the problem is, I don't know whether they can. They got to wait 2 years because that president went and made that commitment to Gus Malzahn for 7 years at $32 million buyout. So they have to, but they after him pretty hard too now, because why do you go through that? Now we're in this situation. So we're going to look at it, and we're going to sit back and watch it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me give you a quick addendum on that buyout. If he finishes this season, his buyout is at $14 million at this point. So
okay.
You may not see Gus Malzahn after this season.
Awesome. Man.
And the man from Yellowwood, Pat Dye, and what's the black running back name? Bo Jackson.
Bro.
Yellowwood, Pat Dye, and Bo Jackson. I believe those three gonna get them $14 million at the end of the season. Say, so long, Pat. So long, Gus Malzahn.
Exactly. I think if it's $14 million, they'll come up with $14 million. Now we always say who they're gonna replace with, but I think they want somebody to be competitive. We will kind of see. We'll keep an eye. We'll talk about that on another day. 347-857-4192. All right, team. Let's kind of look at teams we think will be in the playoffs. The college football. We had all this chaos this past weekend. What four teams? And I want to know y'all four teams. In the order you think it would be, 1 through 4, and we want the listeners to join in too. Let us know. Call in and let us know who you think will be in the football playoff. At this point, name the four teams you think will be there.
I'll jump right in.
All right.
Here's what I think. Yeah, I think it's going to be Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, and the Texas Longhorns. What you say, King?
I agree totally right there. Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Did you say Notre Dame, Barry?
I said Texas the Longhorn.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame. Notre Dame don't play nobody. So they'll be there.
Okay. And I'm gonna jump in and put my eyes out. I said Bama will be seeded 1, and at this point, Notre Dame will be seeded 4. and then the 2 and 3 will be a flip up between Ohio State and Clemson. Everybody can say everything they want about Clemson, that they shouldn't be there because they've been impressive. As long as they win their conference and win their game, they're going to be there. Now, people can say what they want. If they're undefeated, they're going to be there. They're not going to put no one lost team over that undefeated team, Clemson. Now, they may do it to another conference, but they're not going to do it to Clemson. So I'll go with Clemson, and I'll go to Ohio State being number 2 and Clemson being number 3, and that's how I look at this point from my point of view. So we're going to look at those and kind of keep our eyes out for those, and we want you to share your thoughts about yours as well. All right, let's kind of move to our historical black college storyline thing. Coach Trey started off talking about Alabama A&M, and we was up there this past weekend. We drove up and we broadcast live at 10:30 on Saturday morning over there from the tailgate spot that was invited by Coach Trey Edwards. And I want him to kind of share, give us a small synopsis of all what happened that weekend, and also he can go back and share some thoughts about any other SWAC team, how the standing is, how it looked like, and then we'll go from that. Darryl will jump in as well, and we'll go from that. All right, King, kind of give us some thoughts about and just share some things about that Black College Homecoming weekend at Alabama A&M University.
Yes, Dr. Smith. For the last 6 years, 6, 7 years, we've been doing a tailgate at Alabama A&M University. At one point we were going up there, you know, going to people's tailgates, and we just got together and we said, man, let's do our own tailgate. So we started off in the gravel, Dr. Smith, Darryl, E-Chain. We started off in the gravel, and we graduated to the concrete. So now we on the concrete. We having tables. We having linens on the table. We got shapers. So we trying to go up every year. We have enough food that lasts to the, you know, to the nighttime, and with the kids, like I think we fed the A&M track team. About 10, 12 of them came through at one time and hit us hard at the tailgate. But you know, that's the point of tailgate. You know, you want to feed kids that don't get good meals from, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily from good home cooked meals, but that don't eat like that at college, at the college experience. So, you know, you feed them, and it just was a great experience. We didn't go to the game. Me and Dr. Smith didn't go to the game. So we had to hear the hearsay from the crowds. So from then on, that's what we did.
And I'll say that was awesome. It was an awesome experience. This is my second year going up there. And I do appreciate Coach Edwards inviting me, as well as some good close people that travel with me, as well as travel from Montgomery. His mom came up there, Jen, his auntie came up there, and it was exciting up there. I'm going to tell you, I know we try to tailgate at Alabama State, and we try to have a good time, but I applaud Coach Edwards, and I told him to make sure he let all the guys know that I really appreciate how they handled tailgate. They worked as a team. The wives and significant others played a major part. Make sure I train you, let Shedrika know that I'm talking about on the radio. That's Shedrika Edwards.
Thank you.
And
thank
for
you.
The girls, and for the girls for allowing them to do that. So it was outstanding. So I really enjoyed it. No, we didn't go in the game, but we did broadcast live before the game, and we got the score in the game, and it was, you know, it was not in favor of the home team, but it created a better picture of what the SWAC going to turn out to be, because right now in the standing on the East, which consists of Alabama State, Alcorn, Jackson State, and Mississippi Valley, at this time that was like a four-way tie. Everybody was only one loss at the top, everybody except Mississippi Valley. However, after that game, that puts three teams at the top of their with only one loss. I know Alabama State only had one loss in the conference. They beat Alcorn, so Alcorn had that one loss. Alabama State have Grambling as a loss, and then Jackson State. So this weekend, next weekend for sure is going to kind of paint a picture, which is the Magic City Classic. And I hope everybody can join Talking Sports Plus in Birmingham, Alabama, because we will be in the place. We're going up there to support Alabama State and Alabama A&M. So it kind of put a real, gave you a better picture how the swag is going to be turning out on the east side. You still have it rolling over on the west, southern over there doing real well. So you have a lot going on in regards to that. So we're excited about this Magic City Classic because this week all the two teams are off this weekend, Alabama State and Alabama A&M. They're not going to play this weekend, but they'll be up in Birmingham on the following weekend on the 27th, and they're going to be playing, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun up there. So let's see and hear that you put your meat in the seat. So we look forward to having an outstanding opportunity up there. Barry, you want to add any thought to that?
I have a question, Dr. Smith, in fact, because as you know, next year, Labor Day weekend, Alabama State University will be playing in Birmingham at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, and that Tuskegee and Alabama game is no longer for that particular weekend. Now, what is the latest news of the schedule next year for Alabama, A&M, and Tuskegee?
This is what I heard. And matter of fact, there, I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to let all our listeners know. Let me get it right. Next week, in 2 weeks, we're going to have the new appointed director of athletics, Jennifer Lynn Williams, on our show. She's going to be on the show as a guest. So that might be the question to ask her there. But just from hearing through the grapevine, is it that was the year that the option was that they wouldn't play each other on that year and come back and play the next 2 years. But that was the early part of the process when they first got it going, got a new athletic director there, and she got some thoughts about it, and we're going to let her share that in a couple weeks. So we're going to put that on the agenda, one of the questions, to allow her to see can she talk about it and share some thoughts on it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Smith.
You're welcome. But we're very excited about having her. We already talked with her. I talked with her, and she will be with us, not next Wednesday, which is when you're talking about a classic week, but the following Wednesday, she will be with us here on Talking Sports Plus, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. That's a newly appointed the interim tag taking off her name. She's the director of athletics, and that's Jennifer Lynn Williams will be with us as a guest, and she will be here to talk with us. I told her we always allow individuals to share their thoughts, then we allow individuals to ask questions, and she's all right with it. She's excited about it, and we're excited about having it. We're making things do what they do right here on Talking Sports Plus. It's the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high schools, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Our team, we had the closing hour. And I know we had a couple other things. One, we wanted to make sure we get touched out Tony on here, but he was not able to join us up until the closing hour. But anything you want to share, and we'll get ready to close this out for tonight.
Well, I'll say this. I look forward to another great weekend in sports, football. I love it, high school, middle school, college, and some pro. But I'm looking forward to this weekend, and I'm looking forward to coming back next week to talk about the coach of the week, or the coach of the year, I should say, next weekend. Because I think this weekend begins the major story for who will be in the Final Four. And when some of these teams, if there are some upsets this weekend, we'll be still scratching our heads as to which way this will go. Thank you, guys. I hope you guys have a great night.
Awesome there.
Great show tonight, Dr. Smith. Looking forward to this weekend. Like you said, Alabama, they might come out slow, Dr. Smith, but I don't know, man. I just don't think Tennessee has enough. I think they're going to jump on them and come off the gas because Nick Saban is a nice guy, and he'll come off the gas on Pruitt, so I think the Tide win, like you said, about 30, 40 points. They'll mash the gas on them. Big week in NFL. The Cowboys playing the Indians. So it's Redskins versus the Cowboys this week in a big-time NFC East game. what else we got, Dr. Smith? Any more big games in college?
Now you got NBA.
NBA. LeBron. I'm going to say this. NBA came on last night, started up last night. Golden State has the best championship rings I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like that. They have reversible championship rings. So it's a 17-18 ring. So the 2017 ring is 17 carats. The 2018 ring is 18 carats. So that's the most big-time thing I've ever seen in my life. Lakers open up tomorrow. Open up tomorrow versus the Trailblazers. I'm watching Houston now. They're shooting too many threes. It's not going to work, Dr. Smith. Not going to work. But that's all I got this week, man. Hopefully Coach Cunningham and the Lunil Poets will pull through in that area, hopefully, and win, because I don't think it matters who wins that area or where they are placed. They will go down to Mobile, and they will get their heads knocked loose with that area down there. So I don't even think it matters. but that's all I got tonight, man. Y'all have a good night, man.
And, Trey, we said thank you so much from this end. Everybody that came up, we had an awesome time, awesome food. Y'all fed us right, from collard greens to whatever you asked for. And it was exciting, and we appreciate it. Even on the fish end, I ain't getting no fish, Trey, but I'll get some next time. But everything else was awesome, man. We appreciate it. And tell the boys,
yes, sir.
Tell the boys. You know, what y'all call it, the ball head crew, like your mama said, the ball head crew.
The ball head crew.
The ball head crew. They did an outstanding job, and we appreciate it. We'll be back again. We plan on being there every year. And we just love it. And we appreciate your nephew. Keep doing what you're doing. Get ready for some basketball. All right.
Yes, sir. Roll them balls out, Dr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Roll them out. Thank you, Trey. Hey, it was an awesome night. We had a great show tonight. We're very excited about coming again before you. And when we do this, can we just do it with so much joy, because we know we bring you this vehicle to share your thoughts. We're about to close this thing out. You know, I always tell everybody, you know, take care of yourself for the weekend. If your team is playing, support your team. Put your meat in the seat. Go support your team, whether it's high school, middle school, or historical black college and university, or your Division One, Division Two, or Division Three. So we look forward to having an awesome show on Friday with Ballin' with the Doc. We'll be here at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be right back at you on Facebook, Instagram, as well as Blog Talk Radio, and I'll throw in a little Anchor podcast. Then on Monday, we'll have Talking Real to You. For all these shows are hosted by me, myself, Dr. Leland B. Smith, and my co-host will be joining me on Talking Real to You. That's my daughter, which is Lauren B. Smith, as well as our special guest expert, which will be, Miss Scarlett H. Black, as well as Dr. Olivia E. Smith. And we will have a special guest, a foundation represented by a husband and wife, and they'll be here to Sydney's Hope Foundation. And they will be here talking with us on next Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. I tell you, have an awesome night. Keep on grinding. That's the hashtag we're going to give it. Communicate for understanding, hashtag. And also, hashtag the Smith Way. And, you know, I tell everybody, every show, you know, we're at the point that we're so excited about having to come before you. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it.
Ain't no stopping us now. Oh no. people.